Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your Dunamos Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamos Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Here at Dunamos Center Ministries, our mission is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other. I'm here again with my co-host, Catherine Pearson.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine. We've been, like, out working, haven't we?
We have. We've been having a fun time. Nice retreat in the mountains.
Yes.
Colorado's awesome for that.
Yes, and it's important for us every once in a while to recenter, refocus, and look at where we want to go from here. And so some exciting things are coming. We want you to pay attention to our website.
Yes.
And our website address is?
DunamosCenter.com.
There you go. And that's spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. And how else can people get a hold of us?
You can search Facebook, search Dunamos Center Ministries. On Twitter, go to @YourDunamosLife. We would love to receive an email from you with any questions, comments, concerns, etc. That address is DunamosLife@DunamosCenter.com. And you can always reach us by phone. The number is 719-231-7183.
And we are revamping our website, so you know, do keep an eye on that, because we'll be able to bring these shows to you through via our podcasting. And I'm really excited to get some of these shows over. And then you can find the new book that'll be coming out, Won't Somebody Please Hear Me? I Am Happy I Have a Healthy Baby. It's the Rest of It That Sucked. And so that will be coming out in the next month, and it'll be available through the website. And, you know, that's really to help people heal from traumatic birthing, like unnecessary cesareans or surprise cesareans or even very, very difficult labors and births.
Right.
And so look for that there and watch for our next year's speaking schedule starting to roll up. And it's going to be coming up pretty soon, too. Some very exciting things are coming up for us.
Yeah, 2016 is shaping up to...
I know, and it's almost here. Yikes. So, I know, it's
October.
Yep. Yeah, a couple days will be October. It's going to be crazy. So, speaking of healing from traumatic events, we're going to be doing a two-parter on healing from pregnancy loss.
Yes.
Not just your birth loss, but your actual pregnancy loss. So, this would include miscarriages through any point of the pregnancy and also stillbirthing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have in the past interviewed Heidi Faith, who is the president and former of Stillbirth Day, the organization to help that. And today we're really excited because one of the doulas that trained with Stillbirth Day, who also speaks a lot about this, is here with us.
Yay!
So we're very excited to welcome Elizabeth Petricelli to the show. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, and Elizabeth, you are in the Denver metro area, right?
Yes.
And so kind of South Denver, but you can help out people in all that area up there?
Yes, and there are some other doulas kind of spread throughout the Front Range that can also help when I'm not available or they're in an area that I don't serve.
Yeah, and so by the time we're finished with our shows, people may want to be able to get a hold of those doulas. Would they just go to like stillbirthday.org or something to find them?
Yes, they'll go to stillbirthday.com.
.com. Okay, great. So, Elizabeth, I wanted to do today's show. You know, maybe you could share a little bit with us your experience and how you got involved with this ministry or service that you're doing.
Yes. So in 2010, after 6 years of trying to conceive, my husband and I, surprisingly, became pregnant, and I had a living child already, never really thought about miscarriage, mm-hmm. didn't experience a miscarriage in any of those years of trying to conceive, had read books on miscarriage because I was a doula, just a regular labor doula at the time, and then experienced my own miscarriage. We lost our daughter at 8 weeks, 3 days of pregnancy. It's extremely early, and our loss was kind of just brushed over, like it was not a big deal. But inside me, I was very sad and devastated and didn't really understand how this sort of thing happened. You know, I saw heartbeat, saw growth. How could a baby just die?
Mm.
And through that, sought a lot of therapy because... society on one side was like, this isn't a big deal. Your
right.
baby was so young. Why are
right.
you even crying about this?
You were only.
But in, yeah, exactly. You hear that a lot. Harsh, you were, but
yeah.
you were only.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to kind of say that, yes, probably 50 years ago, a lot of women might not have even known they were pregnant by 8 weeks.
Yeah.
But with where we are in our culture, we're knowing right away.
Super early. Yeah.
And so for waiting, for trying for 6 years, you also then have what I call a high investment baby because you've invested so much emotion and time and energy into trying to have a pregnancy, and then you lose, you get excited, it finally happened, and then you lose that
yes.
and all the hope and all the future
oh,
that comes with it.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, even at that time, I just felt she was a girl, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to pick out a wedding dress. You know, I had
yes.
instead of picking out a tuxedo
yes.
with my son, I get to pick out a wedding dress this time, and I'm not even girly, so I thought that was pretty neat that I was excited about that. And,
right.
And then, you know, and then she was just gone. Like all of those dreams, everything
mm-hmm.
was just gone, and so kind of funneled all of that sadness and energy into a book that I wanted to help others, because when I went searching for a book, there was nothing out there.
Mm.
And, you know, this was in 2010, and there were books on stillbirth and some stories about miscarriage in the second trimester, but not really anything about first trimester miscarriage. And I needed to read other stories. I needed to see, do I recover from this? Is this something I'm going to suffer from for the rest
right.
of my life?
Mm. Or do you just have to pretend it didn't happen?
Exactly. Like, where do I go from here? And so with some help of my therapist, she encouraged me to publish my book. And so I did so. And
people get that book still?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yes, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it through the iTunes store.
And what's the title of it?
It is called All It Is Seen and Unseen, A Journey Through a First Trimester Miscarriage.
Okay.
And, but I didn't feel like that was enough.
Right.
And so Heidi Faith had read my book and reached out to me, and she was like, hey, this is amazing. I'm putting together this website called Still Birthday. I want you to, you know, check it out, look into it. And I was intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow, this is pretty amazing. Like, there's someone else out there who is trying to
right.
bring awareness to all of this. And not just awareness now, but build up this great ministry to help and serve people who are experiencing this. And I was scared to even like journey into supporting a woman through it, because, well, how much is this going to bring up for me?
A lot.
you may
lot.
Not have felt like you had totally
exactly.
healed.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was worried, like, am I going to break down and cry just as much as she's crying
yeah.
over her loss? Or am I going to be able to just reach out, you know, hug her, comfort her, support her, help her see, you know,
mm-hmm.
beyond
mm-hmm.
this devastation? And Heidi Faith personally, you know, reached out, and she reaches personally out to just about anybody who asks those questions, and was just like, absolutely, it's going to bring up stuff. But
you're going to cry with them.
Yes, and she's like, but these are the things, this is your path, this is how you navigate through those areas. And so I took the plunge, my leap of faith, and just felt like I was called to do that, and became certified as a birth and bereavement doula.
So really quick, can you talk just a little bit, you know, I'm interrupting your story, but real briefly, you know, what is Still Birthday as an organization, and what do they do and provide?
Still Birthday is huge.
Okay.
It's almost,
I'm sorry.
It's okay. No,
know.
No, no. What I mean is
Excuse
just
me.
When you go to that website, it can be very overwhelming.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Because it has several menu bars, and those menu bars have just, you know, drop downs of all of these different things. It is all inclusive. It it really covers just about any type of loss that you could experience in the way of supporting prior to. So if you have a fatal diagnosis, or even if you just think that your baby might pass for some reason, you're curious. It has information on stillbirth, miscarriage, blighted ovum, chemical pregnancies, just, you know, all of the different types of pregnancy loss that are out there. Abortion loss,
yeah.
You know, healing from those types of things.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
has,
a wide variety.
Absolutely. Has tons and tons of information. So not
yeah.
only is it just support prior to, it's support during, it's support after. How do we, you know, do a farewell celebration? How do we say goodbye to our
right.
baby? I mean, there's absolutely no way in this broadcast I could share everything that Still Birthday does.
Right.
But it is so much. Mm-hmm. And so when I refer people to that website, I do tell them it is extremely overwhelming. But you can type like stillbirth date and maybe say first trimester miscarriage into a search bar, and it will give you those blocks of information, which is easier for you to kind of navigate through there.
Gotcha.
But not only as a woman who's experiencing a loss, or a grandparent, or you know the father, you know they have support for children. You can get those things as just a regular member of society, but as a doula, it is extremely helpful for me because if I don't have that knowledge base, I can certainly go to the website and draw that information and be able to provide it to my client.
So to go back to your story, then you became a doula with stillbirth day.
Yeah.
Let me just define a doula for just a minute. And my definition may not be, you know, fully accurate, but a lot of people hear the term doula, and it's related usually to childbirth assistance or somebody who walks along during the pregnancy and the birth.
Yes.
So it's also been then applied to like a postpartum doula, somebody who would come in and help the family after they had the baby. So now it's being applied to like a pregnancy loss doula, which is somebody then who would sit with and care for and navigate that time frame if I'm doing
absolutely, kind of, okay. You've got it.
And so for me as a Christian, it comes out of the Greek, and it's where Paul made the term that he was a doulos for Jesus Christ. And doulos for Jesus Christ there meant voluntary bond servant. So, I mean, I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes I don't like the way they're using it because they're not voluntary bond. They're not doing it for that. They're doing it as a profession. But I know that, yes, the workers are worth their wage. And if you get help from Elizabeth or from Dunamaw Center or from any doula or childbirth assistant or helper, you should pay them something. You should ask the Lord and you should give them what's due to them. But as Christians, we also want to be available.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so Elizabeth is saying that you're a pregnancy loss doula, so you will come and sit and help and navigate the grief period. And I'm saying if she does that for you, you should very prayerfully ask the Lord, you know, how you can pay her back because we all, you know, work hard. But I also know Elizabeth's heart is to just really be there and care, too. So.
Yes.
We want to just put that out there. I wanted to ask you something different, too, and we'll come back to what Catherine was navigating towards in just a second. Would you say that this early pregnancy loss is kind of a hidden grief in the churches? Like, the church has no clue about this grief?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. As a Christian, I didn't go to my church and say, hey, I had a loss. Now, I did consult with my priest because I wanted to make sure certain things were addressed. And then I, you know, followed, you know, the Catholic Church's recommendations. But so there I am, like I told you earlier, sitting in the pew just with my arms crossed saying, I'm here, Lord, but I don't want to listen to a single thing that you're saying because I am so angry and upset with you. And at churches will have those women sitting in those pews or in those chairs saying, I'm here.
Right.
Not sure why I'm here,
right?
But I'm here.
And then they have all the people around them saying kind of like really stupid things, to be honest.
Yes.
And they're what I call Christian platitudes. And really they're designed to make me as the person who hasn't had the loss feel better and not have to enter your grief.
Yes.
So what are some of those that you would say are the most prevalent or you've heard?
And they strike you
the wrong way. Oh, well, this happened for a reason is a big one.
Oh, my.
With you know, bringing in Christ in the church, you know, they'll say God needed another angel, you know, God took your baby because this was a better, you know, your baby was meant to go to heaven and not to live here on earth. And, you know, those are really hard pieces to hear regardless. And I have do's and don'ts in my other book and on my website that, you know, these are things that we shouldn't hear and shouldn't say because we do say them to make ourselves feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really bringing much comfort to the woman or the family experiencing that grief.
Mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes those things shut people down and then they kind of spiral their grief inward.
Yes.
And it'll start to come out in very strange ways. And one of them is like it's perfectly normal response for any type of trauma or grief or loss to be sitting in church with your arms crossed saying, why God, why, when it first happens. And I have people say all the time, well, you shouldn't get angry with God. And I'm like, as if he doesn't know.
Right.
You know, wouldn't it be better to just you know, yell and scream and address it and then have a conversation with him.
Sure.
Whereas if we don't, we're shutting it all down.
If he knows me, he already knows that I'm angry.
Exactly.
He already knows that I'm upset.
Right.
So he can handle it.
Yeah. But if I pretend I'm not, then I shut down all conversation and connection with him.
Yeah.
And so things like God wanted another angel or blaming God shuts people down rather than send them to the source.
Yeah.
And then you were telling us when we were preparing for the show about your priest coming to see you and kind of something you said, and then he brought some reframing. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So I had another loss this May. We lost our little Augustus. And in that loss, I had the priest come to the home just to talk with us and share. And I had mentioned to him with my first loss, you know, Father, I felt like this happened to call me to become a doula, write a book, share, help other women. And my priest said, absolutely not. God does not take your baby in order to show you XYZ, in order to, you know, put you into a certain profession. You know, he may show you things after you experience that sort of suffering and loss, but he did not force a loss. He did not take away. He did not cause death. That is not him.
Right. And so it reminded us of a couple of passages in the Bible. One, of course, was Jesus said in John 16 that we're going to have trouble in this world. So, you know, sometimes we think we should be somehow be immune from trouble, even pregnancy loss, when really, when we look at it, so many things go towards it's amazing a baby ever makes it to term alive. And so we'll talk about that in a minute. But when you told me the story about what the priest said to you, it reminded me of Romans 8:28, where it says, God uses all things together for good for those who follow him and are called according to his purpose. So if you love him and follow him, he's going to take any experience because we're in a fallen world and we're going to hurt and we're going to go through trauma. And then he's going to find the way to use that for something good. And so when you were talking about trying to help people out of your own grief, we saw that as a fulfillment of another scripture, right, Catherine?
Right, yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God."
So you were receiving some comfort by then, after you got over folding your arms and I'm not talking to you, which is fine. And once we get past that phase, then you started feeling like the Lord was leading you to help other people.
Yes, yes. It took a long time to get there, almost a full pregnancy, I would say, 9 months to get there. I was glad that I was still in church because I did not want to go. That was me. I was like, I don't even know why I'm going. But he was still calling me to come to church. Whether I sat there with my arms crossed or not and had to listen, I was still there.
And there was something that made you want to be willing and open to help other people eventually?
I want to say that my entire life I've been called to serve others in some capacity or another. You know, earlier I said I have a very diverse background, and everyone says, well, how do those pieces even relate to each other, you know, from the Marine Corps and being a police officer to becoming a labor servant to now becoming a, you know, bereavement doula. It's all one thing. It's all service.
Right.
It's service to others.
Right.
And so I could always link it back. And I knew almost from the moment I was born, I'm here to serve.
Right.
Show me how I need to serve, Lord. That's what I need. And I'm being called and pulled into that direction.
Do you feel like you were wanting to serve when you had your arms crossed?
No.
Were there any particular events that you, where your mind shift kind of changed and you thought, okay, I'm willing to move forward?
It may have been my therapist. And when she said, there was a piece missing for you that you didn't get, it's time for you to give that piece to others. It's time for you to share and be vulnerable. And I struggle with vulnerability just as much as many other people struggle with that. And yes, that's where I was like, okay, I have to turn this around into an experience that I know so many other women relate to. We talked about statistics earlier. You know, 1 in 4 women will experience pregnancy loss and miscarriage. And if there are that many women out there having this experience and so little support, Yeah, I needed to. And so I was absolutely called in that manner. He gave me the name for the book. It was, you know, I hadn't had pages and pages of possible names for the book, but that was the one that was presented to me from, it wasn't even on the page.
Right.
He gave it to me in the shower, which is of all places. I'm like, okay, it's quiet.
Yeah, he talks to people a lot in the bathroom.
Yeah. So, so that's kind of that moment. Someone said it's time.
Yeah. You know, I find that God does that a lot. You know, we can have a very difficult or traumatic experience of some sort and just think there is absolutely no purpose in it. There is absolutely nothing good that can come out of this. And then down the road, suddenly we start to see pieces, like you were saying, all these diverse pieces of your life start to come into play. And sometimes I know that I have said, well, God, I really would have preferred a different area to serve because I didn't want to have to go through that grief or that pain or that struggle myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not see the purpose at the time. And so I think a lot of people with pregnancy loss, when I do counseling with especially the stillbirth people, that's part of the thing is there's what is the purpose? I don't know at that moment. And I think that we need to be honest about that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, another statistic you had mentioned was 1 in 60 will be a stillbirth.
1 in 160.
1 in 160. Okay, but
yeah.
I was going to say, are we not seeing that coming down with things like, I know cords that did not wrap properly, that used to be like 1 in 10,000. And now they're seeing that with the GMOs, the genetically modified foods out there, it's increasing like 1 in 2,000. So it's scary to think that this is actually getting worse for us in the United mm-hmm. States, and we have no idea how to even handle it.
Right.
Our culture doesn't know how to grieve.
Right.
Anything, really. But
no, it's pop a pill and let's fix just about anything we can possibly fix. And this is not something that will be fixed from popping a pill or probably even adding more medical intervention or technologies, because I think we'll see some increases in things. Although there are some really good studies out there, and we're starting to study this a little bit more to kind of see, like, when is the optimal time for delivery? How can we, you know, possibly prevent some of these things? But it's still not enough. And miscarriage is a big one. Miscarriage, how do you prevent a miscarriage? I needed progesterone supplementation. That was one of my issues. And to find a doctor willing to go down that route when it's, you know, not thoroughly studied was really, really difficult. In my second pregnancy, I had to reach to the church. I needed the church to help me to get progesterone supplementation because they were the only ones that cared about my baby surviving. So, you know, I'm going to a doctor who says, well, let's just see, let's hope for the best. You know, but it could possibly happen. And then here's the church thing, and it's the Pope Paul Institute in Omaha, Nebraska, that is saying progesterone isn't the catch-all pill, the catch-all shot. It's not going to save a pregnancy that's doomed to fail from the beginning. And with Gus, I had to take progesterone supplementation, but he ultimately died not because of his deficiency. He died because of his own condition.
Right.
So
that brings up the fact that with Gus, you got a diagnosis for why your mm-hmm. baby died.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it this way, but I don't know how else to say it. In some ways, it makes it like make sense.
Yes.
Whereas the majority of people that I've worked with or experienced it with, they never find out why.
Right.
And when my sister-in-law actually lost a baby in utero at 41 weeks gestation.
Wow.
It's called sudden infant demise. And they never could find out anything. Full autopsy, nothing.
Right.
And I've had that with other people I've worked with as well. It's so hard because we don't want to do Christian platitudes.
Right.
But sometimes we're left with just Psalm 139, that the number of days are written in the book of life before one of them even comes to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very hard thing to learn to trust. But yet at the same time, the majority of the people who have these losses, that's all we have. I know with my niece, that's all we had.
Mm-hmm.
And the question then becomes, will I trust God? Will I trust God's design for birth? Or will I give up on it because of a difficult loss?
Right.
And that's, to me, the greater loss. If we don't find the support we need in the church to help us to walk the grief.
Mm-hmm.
And to be okay that it's a grief.
Mm-hmm.
And to be okay that Jesus said, he never said we're not going to have trouble. He just said, when you have it,
yes,
I'll be there for you.
Yes.
But it's very hard to see, isn't it, when you're sitting with your arms crossed in church angry.
Absolutely.
And you don't want to hear anything they say. And then there's the 16-year-old who got pregnant on a date whose mm-hmm. baby's doing just fine. And nobody wanted that baby in the first place. And I know I've worked with moms that, you know, that's one of the biggest griefs. They don't want to go to church because there's the other pregnant people who, why do they get to have a healthy
yep.
baby? And they're 16 and don't care and just were careless, and I don't get to have my baby.
Sure.
And, you know, a lot of people, you know, what are, have you heard some comments on those types of things that would be a little bit annoying?
You know, I hear that often, especially from clients, and not just about 16-year-olds, but any pregnant woman.
Yes.
I remember experiencing those thoughts of, you know, I hate her. I hope her baby dies too. That was something
yeah.
I wrote in my book that I wanted to take out because I was embarrassed that I even felt
right.
those things. But
right.
a majority of us do after experiencing that loss. And I had to kind of turn that around, and I try to tell some of my clients, let's look at a little bit differently. Let's look at this from the perspective of maybe she's experienced a loss.
And you
and
don't
this,
know.
Exactly, and we don't know. I don't know her story.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. for me to wish that harm and on mm-hmm. her, maybe she has already experienced that. And
yeah.
and she's yeah. just as scared that this baby's going to die too.
Right.
And you had a term for a healthy baby following a loss. What was that?
So anytime you are pregnant and experience a loss, the subsequent pregnancy is what's called a rainbow baby.
Oh.
So this is the rainbow after the storm. You know, God
I
promised
see.
That rainbow, right?
This
is my covenant to you.
Right.
And so a lot of times we approach it from the perspective of this is a covenant. Now, that doesn't mean this baby won't be taken too. Obviously, I experienced
sure.
the second loss.
Yeah.
Although I approached that pregnancy very differently and needed to approach it very differently. I needed to call on him, and I needed to call on, you know, Bible verses. And, you know, I wrote a note every day to that baby. I don't know how long I'm going to have you with me.
Right.
And you're in utero, and I can't love on you and hug on you the same way I would outside my other children who I don't know how long I will have with me.
Right.
But here I am. Here's your note. Every day you get a note. And I took a picture of it, and ultimately that was his video, his memorial video of all of the notes that I wrote to him. And I needed that because
mm-hmm.
we don't know. After my first loss, someone who had lost their 21-year-old son came to me, and she said, we don't know, or I'm sorry, our children are on loan.
Mm-hmm.
They are not really our children.
Right.
They are God's children, just like all of us are God's children.
So true.
So we don't know how long we get them here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
love them as much as you can.
Well, right. we might have them 8 weeks. We might have them 21 years.
Yep.
We might have them
till after
60,
we die.
70.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We just don't know. And, you know, it reminds me, Catherine, of, you know, when we want to live a dunamis life that's filled with the Spirit of Christ, that we want to do our best to approach it that way and help those who are hurting, you know, to just kind of come alongside them. Jesus often came alongside people and said, just tell me your story before he did anything else.
Right.
So if we're really filled with his love, his care, and we need to just come alongside and say, I'm safe for you to tell me your story. And then he would say, now let me tell you about my Father and how he can help you in that.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't expect them to just get it without first, you know, first sitting and caring about their story. So for us as Christians, we need to learn that in this. And so I think, you know, we're going to wind up here in a minute for this week, but we're going to do another show with you on how the church can do some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe how we can come alongside and how we can heal. If
yeah.
you would be willing to do that with
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely.
So before we go, Elizabeth, would you give our audience your website?
So my bereavement website is called dragonfliesforruby.com.
So F-L-I-E-S, flies, or F-Y-L-Y?
F-L-I-E-S.
Okay.
Yeah, so plural.
So
yeah.
dragonflies for F-O-R, or the number
yep.
For Ruby.
For Ruby.
Okay.
Yes.
And so they can find more information about your books there. And
yes, or you can find information about me at elizabethpetrucelli.com. Now,
okay.
that's a spelling.
Well, but I studied Italian, so I know how to spell it. So anyway, go to our Blog Talk Radio website. You'll see how to spell her name, and her website will be up there as well.
Yep.
And I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard.
And I'm Catherine Pearson.
And we're going to talk with Elizabeth more next time.